Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, Singapore's just been through an election, and what might it be like for us here in Singapore for property, especially after the PAP was returned to power on Friday, albeit with a less resounding result than in 2015. Now, back in 2019, according to reports, property experts said the UK housing market could expect a surge in sales and rental activity across Britain after Boris Johnson's Conservative Party secured a resounding victory in the general election that year. Some have called this, though, for Singapore, a COVID election, so the impact of the pandemic on business and economic activity cannot be ignored. Joining us today is Hari V. Krishnan, CEO and MD of Property Guru Group. He's also a member of YPO, a global leadership community of chief executives with approximately 29,000 members in more than 130 countries. Hari, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Hari.
So what do you make of the 2020 SG election results from the perspective of a business leader in the property and tech industry? Any impact on the property sector, you reckon?
You know, I think there will be. Election years, even in Singapore, there's always this sort of a holding pattern where everyone's trying to figure out what's going to happen, who's going to win, what kind of mandate they're going to get. And I think in a COVID year, you know, that uncertainty is only heightened. And, you know, our belief is that, you know, in fact, we just ran a consumer sentiment study and it told us that 55% of Singaporeans are unsure about property pricing right now. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, inability to access these properties because of the circuit breaker. And I think, you know, some of that has nothing to do with the election, but I think just having a little bit more surety is definitely going to help. The only other element which is unique to this election, which I think came through very strongly, the PM himself mentioned it, you know, the voice of young Singaporeans was very loudly heard, and you know, in the way they voted and you know what they're expecting. What we heard in our study is that young Singaporeans want better access to property financing. So when it came to actual financing, that's a very critical element of that. So I think when you think about this property sector revitalizing post-COVID, we're definitely going to have to address this whole element of property financing.
Hari, is there any point looking back at, say, a previous election result and how it affected property markets, given that this particular election was so unprecedented, the situation we're in is so unprecedented?
So I think, you know, it's a fair question. What's happening here is we've got two macro elements. You've got the election and then you've got COVID. And in COVID specifically, I'll talk to the economic shock, not so much the health crisis. When you look at the economic shock of COVID, I suspect that impact is going to be more significant on the property sector than the election itself. And, you know, if you look back to the financial crisis, what our data has told us is that property markets in Singapore typically prices recover in about 12 months, but that is after the crisis is closed. Now, obviously, we're gradually emerging. We're in phase two of the circuit breaker. So we can't say, you know, it's sort of a job complete. But I think you could expect that, you know, prices will recover over the next 12 to 24 months, just given how long it's taking us to beat this virus.
Hari, let's take a broader view. Singapore's economic outlook and its position as a key global and business investment destination. Any impact the election might have had on it?
Yeah, I think in many ways, I see this as a big positive from an external investor's perspective. I think Singapore's always had the force of law, you know, good jurisdiction, a stable economy, stable government. These have always been positive, and that they remain the case. But what's been added to the kitty, if you like, right now, is this element of a vibrant democracy and the fact that you have an opposition, you have a leader of the opposition designated now, you have someone who's empowered to give contrarian views. You're hearing views from different segments of society, so elder Singaporeans, younger Singaporeans. And there is, as with every country, there are slightly different needs for different generations. And now you're beginning to see it more. So putting on my business hat and a regional hat, I would say that these are all positives, because when you're viewing this, you now see this as a functioning democracy in every way, shape and form.
Hari, Bridget Welsh is a political scientist who focuses on Southeast Asia. And in the New York Times, she said, from the outside, Singapore looks like a great success story. And in many ways it is, but there are legitimate questions being raised, particularly during this election, about what it aspires to be in this new era. This new era obviously being so as we cope with COVID-19. What do you think Singapore should aspire to be, you think?
See, I think it's a fair point. I think, you know, we've always thrived, you know, Singapore being a global hub, That's been the strength of its growth over the last, particularly over the last 20 or 30 years. And I think going forward, you know, obviously there's right now a lot of moves happening where people are moving against globalization. Mm. But there are elements of business which are fundamentally set up where if you were to try and remove this global system that is making many countries successful, the reality is everyone will suffer. So I think while there are some short-term noises, and I think there will be some changes that happen, Singapore has the benefit of being close to America as well as close to China. It's always been a delicate balancing act it needs to strike. But I think the fact that it remains a global economy, it invests in future technology. So it's always, we've had data centers for many years. Now we're talking about health tech and agri-tech as the next phase that Singapore wants to lead. That's remarkable for a country of this size. And so I think as long as we keep innovating and upskilling the people in particular, there should not be a problem. And I think that's the critical thing along the way. As it becomes a full-fledged economy, you can't have that sort of Gini coefficient sort of begin to expand. If you leave people behind, then you'll have a bigger problem.
That's the thing, though, size you mentioned, or the lack of it that we have, has to be brought to the fore. And the geopolitical tensions between China and the U.S. is very real. And for sure, because we have such an open economy, we'll be affected. What do you reckon?
No, I think there will be elements that will be affected, there's no question. But when you look at the flows of capital, or if you look at the technology networks of the world, etc., they are fundamentally set up to be global. So whether, you know, it's politically expedient to say that we are not going to be global anymore and it's our country first, that needs to be separated from the actual mechanics of how business and technology are conducted today. I think there are certain investments in global infrastructure that have been put in place that will be very, very expensive for us, for anybody, even the large countries, to try and pull out. And I think that goes in the benefit of Singapore. So I think really from a Singaporean government perspective, and from, as a businessman sort of sitting here and building a business out of Singapore, I'd say the benefits of being this sort of open society and communicating with all sides is actually going to serve us well. But we've got to be able to see out the next 2 to 3 years with strength. And I think a lot of that strength needs to come by taking care of the needs of people in Singapore and making sure that, you know, job creation is there. There's a real risk that other, you know, parts of our economy are going to be hit permanently. Certain companies or industries may, you know, have a very long-term impact on them, negative impacts. And how is that going to play out for Singaporeans? How are they going to, so my sector, for example, real estate, how are people going to think about owning real estate going forward? Today, if you look at it on Property Guru in Singapore, as of today, a vast majority of the listings are for resale or for subsale, where historically we've always had a very large percentage of new projects on it. Now, partly that's to do with the fact that there's no construction going on, but partly it's also to do with the fact that there are certain macro things that we have set up through government policy. For example, the minimum occupancy period, the MOP for a lot of HDB flats. We're going to have a record number of MOP flats come up in the second half of this year, which can be sold. So what does that mean for that whole property sector, home ownership? Because a big part of the Singaporean dream has always been a young Singaporean can access good quality real estate early in their life and then own it and upgrade progressively over time. Making sure that is actually protected is actually quite important to even to making sure the workforce is happy and motivated. And that actually plays to your broader question of what is our role in the global economy.
We're speaking with Hari V. Krishnan, who's CEO and MD of Property Guru Group. He's also a member of YPO, a global leadership community of CEOs. So the property outlook for the second half of 2020, not looking so bad, is it?
I think, see, it depends where you're seated. So let me put it this way. I think there will be some, there's a lot, there are about 20 to 30,000 units, constructed units right now that remain unsold in Singapore. We still have, you know, when we started the year, we thought there'd be somewhere around 60 to 70 new projects that would launch. Let's assume half of those at least get away in the second half of this year and get launched. That's more supply coming online. And so the question now becomes, as more and more supply comes on, obviously that's a downward pressure on prices, which is good news for the domestic buyers and for young Singaporeans. But the counter pressure obviously is from, you know, domestic property investors who own multiple houses, as well as foreign investors. Now, foreign investors are being kept away with the additional buyer stamp duty. But what about domestic investors? What about the young Singaporeans? Will the prices fall to a place where they feel happy to jump off the sidelines and participate? I think everything else, the macro conditions are great because interest rates are about as low as you can expect to be for a home loan. It's a great time to refinance your home loan if you have one. If prices start to connect a little bit, you'll have high-quality real estate coming in at lower prices and low interest rates for your home loans. That should be prime conditions for an active sector. But the concern right now remains job security and other things. Nothing to do with our sector, but if household income begins to drop because of job loss or salary loss, then that could be obviously a dampener to this recovery.
So yeah, no one's buying big ticket items if you don't have an income, though, Hari.
That's correct. So I think, but one thing which we have going in our favor, we're one of those very few countries in the world where real estate is seen in a very different way. I mean, more people invest in real estate than in stocks. So in Singapore, people want to put value in here. They see this as a store of value, real estate. It's an asset class which has been made accessible through government policy to the credit of the government. And I think as long as that remains the case, if they don't have to put down a big deposit to participate, if they can access financing easily, young Singaporeans will still be able to access this. And if ABSD, for example, for domestic buyers was to reduce a little bit, for example, which is something that has come up in our consumer sentiment study, older Singaporeans will participate as well. Mm. So I think the government must be looking at these demand drivers because the participation on our marketplace, for example, traffic, inquiries, remains very high, very vibrant. Mm. But there is a drop-off when it comes to transactions, and that comes down to this whole element of 55% of Singaporeans being unsure about the pricing.
How do you think the real estate industry might transform in Singapore in the years ahead? And has the pandemic changed the evolution trajectory, Hari?
I think it's already started, Hari. You know, during COVID, what we saw is we had our partners, property developers in particular, come to us and say, listen, people can't fly in. People can't even sort of drive over to our show flats. Do you have any solutions? You're a technology partner. And so we expedited one solution of ours called FastKey Storyteller. And that's essentially a remote viewing, sort of immersive viewing experience for an under construction project. So if you just have a construction site somewhere in Singapore, as far as you're concerned, you log into your web browser or your smartphone, and you're able to actually look at what this site is going to look like. You're able to then see what units are available. You're able to then even submit an inquiry. Now, this is facilitated via an agent or the developer's own sales team, but it allows the consumer to have what I would call a digital native experience in the real estate purchase flow, which has not been something that has happened in Southeast Asia prior to this. So COVID in some ways has accelerated certain adoptions. And I'd say the offline to online migration has definitely accelerated in the first half of this year. I think as with any artificial acceleration, it's uncomfortable. And so we've had to be very, we've partnered very closely with developers and agents to make sure they're comfortable with it. But the reality is the acceleration has probably happened at a speed which is what the consumers want. But on the supply side,
Not anticipated, right? Yeah.
Correct. It's happened at a very fast pace. So I think you'll see the benefit of this in 2021 and so on. But you're already seeing now projects which are online, fully digital. You're seeing availability as, you know, how we're used to seeing with online hotels or with travel. You're now seeing real estate being made available with technology tools like this. And so I remain optimistic that some of these technology changes, both consumer-facing as well as within the enterprise, you know, sort of CRM-type softwares that are there, including our own FastKey, are going to greatly vitalize the real estate sector overall.
Hari V. Krishnan, CEO and MD of Property Guru Group. He's also a member of YPO, a global leadership community of chief executives. Hari, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Hari.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.